This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight for those watching on VSiN.com, YouTube TV. Had to break out the new white suit tonight because, you know what, we need to give you some new looks. We've got a lot to hit upon tonight with all 30 teams of Major League Baseball in action, and we did not have any day games. So we've got all of these games going down within the next few hours. We'll give you guys some thoughts. We'll give you guys some breakdowns, hopefully some winners along the way. We're going to be talking some baseball a little bit later on the show when Bob Nightingale joins me. Does great work over at USA Today. We're going to be chatting about what we've all seen this far this season, teams that might be ascending slash declining in the playoff race, and never too early to be taking a look at the MLB trade deadline, one that I think is going to be so interesting. Like, you just take a look at the American League playoff standings, and all but three teams enter into tonight with in four games of that final wild card spot. Obviously, the Chicago White Sox, sorry White Sox, probably not going to be making the playoffs, but pretty much all those other teams very much in contention. So we're going to be talking about that and so much more. We'll head out to Los Angeles towards the back half of the show. Michael Duarte, he does a tremendous job covering the Dodgers and so much more. Have to see what the state of the Dodgers is. Probably ask a question or two about the LA Lakers, what we can expect out of them in terms of their offseason moves as well, with it being the first offseason with them having Luka Doncic under their belt. And we will also be talking a little UFC, as UFC 317 is going to be incredible. I know that we've got a gentleman, Doug Vasquez, who does a tremendous job over at Sports Illustrated, joining me a little bit later on in the show, and we're going to be asking him what he's anticipating from these fights, and we're going to have ourselves a whole bunch of fun. And what else is fun is the fact that if you were planning on betting some of the early MLB action, you're just getting started now. That Mets versus Pirates game got a little bit of a late start due to rain, so they pushed that back a few minutes. You had that, I believe, with a few of these other games as well, if I'm not mistaken. You had that in Guardians versus the St. Louis Cardinals, and then perhaps the Rays versus the Baltimore Orioles. But these are games that should be starting up within the next few or so minutes, and there are a few plays I really like that they go up on the VSiN website. As a matter of fact, I'm getting set on the ones for Saturday right now, so I'm always working ahead for you guys, and those go up every single day over at VSiN.com. But that said, this was one that I really did spotlight, and I do think that you still have some good value here. It's the Tampa Bay Rays on the road against the Baltimore Orioles, with Tomoyuki Sugano going for Baltimore, and Ryan Pepiot is going to be on the bump for the Tampa Bay Rays. And this Rays team is in the neighborhood about a minus 125 or so with regards to the money line, and I'd be willing to play this up to a minus 130. This Tampa Bay Rays team has really been rocking and rolling, and the team that I feel like has just been most mispriced in Major League Baseball this year is the Orioles. Yes, the Orioles have been able to build themselves up a little bit more with getting some of these guys back in the fold, like a Jordan Westberg, Colton Cowser, what have you, but I mean, it's just been a rough lineup. They've been in the bottom 10 in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. Cedric Mullins, with 12 home runs, is right now leading the way for this team. And I think that the Tampa Bay Rays are very live to be able to win the AL East. Like, I do think that the New York Yankees are going to be able to bust out of their little bit of offensive swoon. I did take the over in that Athletics versus Yankees game, by the way. That's Will Warren versus Mitch Spence. I also took a early run line on the New York Yankees. In my opinion, it's gotten to a little bit of a point of no return. This is a game that's going to be going off within the next 10 or so minutes. You're getting like minus 145, minus 130. I was able to get that more around minus 105. So we've gotten a little bit too far there. But if you're looking for an over in that game, do like that over. But I mean, for the Tampa Bay Rays team, they've got a little bit of everything, and they're built for 162. And that's something that you want to take a look at in terms of various MLB futures. Like, there are some teams that are built to be able to win a World Series. Like, I think the San Francisco Giants are actually very much built for a 5 or 7 game series, because if you get the San Francisco Giants in a 5 to 7 game series, guess who you're facing off against? Robbie Ray, Logan Webb, at the very minimum in 4 out of those games. Like, that is a gauntlet right there. And then you've got these guys like Landon Roop who've been able to come on. Hayden Birdsong has been relatively solid. The Tampa Bay Rays, are they built for a 5 or 7 game series? Probably not. Like, you take a look at the starting pitching. Ryan Pepiot, who's going to be going tonight, he's solid. He's going to give you about 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's going to be able to give you some good starts, but, and this is a, I need to utilize the Detroit Tigers term from last year, bullpen madness team. You've got the likes of Eric Orze, Pete Fairbanks. These guys are able to give you a sub-280 ERA. Garrett Clevenger. They come in. They do their job. It's not a team that necessarily has that one guy that'll put the team on his back. Though Junior Caminero is trying to make that case for you. Junior Caminero, 20 home runs this year. Brandon Lau has been able to get loud. He's been able to give you 16 home runs. Like, these guys are very rock solid in this Rays lineup that last year was very pedestrian. This year, they're averaging about 5 runs per game away from home. That's a top 8 mark in the big leagues. And with Tomoyuki Sugano, I just have a little bit of fear that he's going to give up too much contact. And by that, I mean he's getting about 5 strikeouts per 9 innings right now. That's been a little bit rough for them. So I do think that with this Orioles team, especially having a rough bullpen, that this Tampa Bay Rays team should be able to go out there, get the job done tonight. So I did like them on the money line. Like I said, I'd be willing to go up to about a minus 130. And then with regards to the total, I set mine to where I'm going to be liking an over as well. So we're going to be looking at that over, and we're going to be looking at the money line of the Tampa Bay Rays, as it is VSiN Prime Time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we're going to run down the list, try to get you guys some winners on these early games, because we've got a lot of games that are just going down right now. That Mets versus Pirates game just started. This actually got down to a minus 135 in some spots with the New York Mets. Like, that was a line that I did not want to touch overnight. With that getting down so far, I thought that you got good value on that money line. And then with regards to that total, especially if you were able to get an 8.5, did like that under as well. So we will see how that is going to be playing out. That's one that I'll be sweating out here throughout the night. I know that this is one that many people are going to sweat out too. This is Mick Abel versus Bryce Elder coming up in about 10 or so minutes. The Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies with Abel. He is able to be a very big underdog. Right now, plus 150 to plus 160 to Bryce Elder. And the total on this game is 9.5. I recognize that Bryce Elder has been a little bit better this year. Who's Bryce Elder to be laying minus 170 on a sub-500 team, though? Like, this is just really intriguing to me. Like, I recognize what Mick Abel has done thus far this season. He has given up 9 total runs in his starts, and he has given up 7 homers. That is not sustainable. If you're giving up 7 home runs and 9 total runs, that is going to be going northward. But at the same time, you're getting plus 160 on the road with the Philadelphia Phillies team that, yeah, they were allergic to scoring earlier this week against the Houston Astros. That said, you still have Kyle Schwarber in the lineup, who's able to give you 24 home runs. Guys move the line, give you 375 on base. Now, outside of Kyle Schwarber, nobody else on the Phillies has been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers. But you have these guys that are able to get on base for Schwarber to be able to turn those home runs into 2-run shots, 3-run shots. You need a little bit more out of something like Mondo Sosa towards the bottom of the full, but Nick Castellanos has been able to hit for north of a 280. Been able to get that out of Trey Turner, Alec Boehm. So, I mean, you've got these guys that are able to find a way on for the Atlanta Braves. Bryce Elder, just not a really guy that I trust in. Mid-4 ERA, gives you 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. He gives up a little bit of arm contact. It's not, like, atrocious, but, I mean, there's really not a lot to love here. There's just no reason for him to be minus 180 here. Should the Atlanta Braves be a favorite? Yeah, I set them as more like a minus 120, minus 125 favorite, and this opened up relatively decently, like minus 140. I thought that there was nothing really off-putting about that. Now that you're getting this big of a plus number, though, recognize that the Phillies dealing with some injuries. Bryce Harper still out of the fold, and this has been a Philadelphia Phillies bullpen that has not been great, to say the least. Like, Orion Kerkering has been really your lone guy that's been able to go out there, hold down the fort, but still, I do think that you've got some relatively good value here with this Phillies team, especially with an Atlanta Braves team that, even with Ronald Acuña Jr. back at the fold, and he has been great, 9 home runs, north of a 450 on base, it's still a hit-or-miss team where you need a bit more out of Ozzie Albies along with Michael Harris, a pair of guys that have really struggled this year. You've got someone like a Nick Allen towards the bottom of the fold. He doesn't give you any power, as a matter of fact. He's got as many home runs as myself thus far this season, so I just really didn't understand this line. I went with the Phillies on the money line, especially with this big of a, shall we say, plus number. And with regards to the total, I actually did take a shot on the under. I set my total to 9.2. Had this gotten down to a 9, I would have been willing to go over, but at a 9.5, this was one where I took it under, as it is VSiN Prime Time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and how about if we get you guys another game that is going to be starting in the next few minutes? I believe that this was one of those rain delay games, by the way, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Cleveland Guardians. And I will tell you this before I go into this game. When it comes to rain delays, there are a few that are like a few minutes long, like the one between the Mets and the Pittsburgh Pirates, not really anything off-putting. If we have any sort of a rain delay that is long-lasting, it is always so funky. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I find when there's a rain delay, everything that I think is going to happen with the rain delay, it's the exact opposite. Like, you think, oh, I need to change my handicap for the rain delay. No, you really didn't have to. And then if you don't change your handicap, oh, it's like I should have had to. So, I mean, they're always strange because these pitchers are creatures of habit, and you never know what you're going to get out of them. Baseball players in general are creatures of habit, but Luis Ortiz, he has an habit of giving up walks. For the Guardians, they're right around about plus 110, plus 115. St. Louis is in that neighborhood of minus 122, minus 125, and most places have this total at an 8.5, and I'm going to be willing to dive in on the under. Now, Sonny Gray has not been good on the road this year. He's got north of a 5 ERA, and really, since he got to St. Louis last offseason, he has been having demonstrative home and road splits, north of 2 points higher on his ERA when he's on the road rather than at home. But who on the Cleveland Guardians at the bottom of fold is going to be able to hit? Like, you love what Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez give you at the top. They both hit north of 300. Jose Ramirez, 13 plus home runs this season, but then you just go down the list of the cavalcade of different guys hitting a 215 or lower. Kyle Manzardo just above that at about a 222, but I mean, Bo Naylor has been hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. It got so bad that they had to send Brian Rocchio down to the minor league level. They have gotten nothing out of Will Wilson. They're just looking for someone to be able to give them a spark towards the bottom of the lineup. They just have not been able to find that. And for the Cardinals, even though this team is in the bottom eight in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis, they still have been a top 10 team in terms of run production. Guys like Alec Burleson have been able to step up, be able to find a way on base. You've had Brendan Donovan hitting about a 300 as well. And for a guy in Luis Ortiz, who does get strikeouts, north of 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, the walks are a little bit of a concern. He doesn't give up a ton of hard contact, so that's not necessarily the world's biggest concern. But that said, I do think that the Cardinals go out there on the road, get the job done. That minus 122 is calling my name on the money line, and I'll be sweating out the under in this game as well. We've got ourselves a lot of, shall we say, evening baseball. We're going to be taking a look at that, and we're going to get you guys set for what is going to be a tremendous Friday of baseball betting on the flip side here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is VSiN Primetime right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we've got ourselves a lot to take a look at in terms of baseball tonight. Most of these games have just gotten started. Yankees versus the A's just got started. You're now the bottom of the first inning between Pirates versus Mets. The Rays versus Orioles, that is going into the bottom of the first. You just got the start for the St. Louis Cardinals versus Guardians. No runs on the board in any of these games, and Blue Jays versus Red Sox just got going as well. Really, the lone game that's in a rain delay is this. We've actually got two games in a rain delay. The Reds versus the Padres, and then you've also got the Twins versus the Tigers. Great time to be able to break those games down because you still have a chance to be able to make some money here. So how about if we start things off with the game that it looks like is going to be going off earliest, Reds versus Padres. Dylan Cease is going to be facing off against Nick Martinez out there at Great American Small Park, as they like to call it. Martinez right around about a plus 110, plus 115 underdog. You're getting about minus 125 on the Padres. I just believe that you're going to get positivity for Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease has been rocking north of a 4-4 ERA, but the fielding independent is closer to 3. His velocity is still there. He's getting 11 strikeouts per 9 innings. I know that a lot of people are bullish on the Reds. I am too. What I'm bullish on with the Reds is more their pitching, not necessarily their hitting. Ellie De La Cruz has been awesome. 16 home runs, 20-plus stolen bases, does a good job of being able to get on base. TJ Friedl, Gavin Lux, they're both able to give you north of a 350 on base. Power's not really there with this team. Outside of Ellie De La Cruz, nobody else has given you a double-figure amount of homers. They've been mixing and matching with some of these young guys like Christian Encarnacion, Strand, Reese Hines when they've gotten their opportunity at the big league level. I've just not been able to stay there. You've got these guys like Santiago Espino, who give you nothing whatsoever. They had to cut ties with Jameer Candelario. So, I mean, it's been a mess for much of that lineup. And I think that Cease is going to be able to go out there, mow them down. And let's say that Dylan Cease continues to struggle. He's been giving up a whole bunch of runs this season. You've got a bullpen for the San Diego Padres that is in the top four in the big leagues in terms of ERA. Recognize that Robert Suarez has blown a pair of games over the last two or so weeks, but these guys like an Audrey Morahone, Jason Adam have been able to come out there, do a solid job. Even David Morgan has been able to give you a sub-350 ERA, so I do like that. And for the Reds, this has been a ho-hum bullpen. With Martinez, you know that he's not going to commit a lot of stupid mistakes. He gives up fewer than 2.2 walks per 9 innings, but is starting to give up a little bit more hard contact going against a San Diego Padres team that it's been pedestrian in terms of their offense. You've got Gavin Lux, or I should say Gavin Sheets, along with Manny Machado throwing there as well. Fernando Tatis Jr. give you 12-plus home runs this season, but the catcher spot has been rough. The outfield guys, like, they've had to go to Brandon Lockridge, Tyler Wade a little bit. That's been a bit of an issue. So this was one where I did take a shot on the under of 9, and I'm in on the Padres on the money line. And then we'll be sweating this one out with Sawyer Gibson Long and David Fiesta. And David Fiesta open to have a Fiesta out there in Detroit. This total is 9. And with Detroit, you're going to be catching them right around about a minus 135 or so in terms of this money line. And for Gibson Long, I was willing to get there with him. I wasn't wanting to go anything further than about a minus 138 or so. And this was an opener that in a lot of places you were able to get this more around about a minus 115, minus 120. So we have seen the steam come in on the Detroit Tigers. And my opinion, rightfully so, this is a Twins team that has been lost. They have won 3 out of their last 13 games. For the Minnesota Twins, it's really been the bullpen that has been letting the team down, as they had a really nice start to the season. And the top guys are still the top guys for this team. Like Louis Varland, Yoan Duran, these two guys have been able to give you a sub-3 rate. You know, have Danny Kalum coming off the injury list. Prior to going in the injury list, he had like 15-plus appearances and yet to allow a run. So, I mean, those guys have been solid. But when you get into the middle relief, that's the issue. And for the Tigers, if you look at the overall bullpen stats this year, they're right around league average in terms of their ERA, but they're able to do a nice job of mixing and matching. These guys like a Chase Lee, Wolves, the guy that opens a lot of games, and Bryant Herter. These guys are able to do a rock-solid job holding it down, and unlike a season ago, this is a Detroit Tigers team that is able to really produce at the plate. You've got a trio of guys, Kerry Carpenter throwing there as well, Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson giving at least 14 home runs this season, and they're not hitting solo shots because all of a sudden Javi Baez has been able to get on base. You've had these guys like a Gleyber Torres be able to give you north of 375 on base as well, so they're doing a good job there. They do it against righties and lefties, and for David Fiesta, nice power pitcher. He's able to give you north of 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. When he misses bad, though. North of 3.5 walks per 9 innings. ERA well north of a 4.5. He's been getting banged around a little bit. I do think that there's positivity to him for Mr. Fiesta, and this is a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark in Detroit. So I think that that's going to be to his benefit. And Sawyer Gibson Long, when we last saw him at the big league level in 2023, prior to the season, he was doing a nice job in terms of his strikeout numbers. Command was a little bit wonky. Been a little bit different now. He has been giving up only about 1.5 to 2 walks per 9 innings, but his strikeout stuff has been a little bit down. That said, I do think that the Tigers go out there, get to that Twins bullpen, and get it done. Did somebody tell it at 8.8? Two young pitchers I see some positivity for. I like the honor, and I do like that money line of the Detroit Tigers. Those two games should be going down in the next few minutes, and what's going down right now here at VSiN is one of our best promotions of the year. You're able to get in on everything that we do all throughout the football season for just $175 with our early bird special, the NFL betting guide. That is going to be coming out in mere days. I tell you right now, I've got my projections for every single playoff team in both the NFC and the AFC. You get access to every single sport as well. It's not just football. You're getting in on all the baseball for the rest of the season, college basketball season, because this runs all the way through the Super Bowl. So that covers most of the college basketball season as well. And you get daily best bet emails from our VSiN show hosts and guests, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, full access to the VSiN Watch app where you're able to watch shows on demand, and deep dive analytics and betting tools on the VSiN website. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe, lock in that early bird special, $175, everything that we do here at the network all throughout the Super Bowl. VSiN.com/subscribe, as it is VSiN Prime Time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson, typically you see me a little bit more on the late nights, but we've got me in on Prime Time. Very happy to be here, and we do have some prime action right now. If you're sweating out some yes run, no run first innings, right now, hopefully it took some nerfies because you were able to get there in terms of the Mets versus Pirates. Pirates did not muster a single hit in the first inning off of David Peterson. Great name, and that great name is able to get you to the window if you had the no run first inning. You're in a little bit of a sticky spot here if you're in Yankees versus A's, as right now Will Warren has loaded the bases because the A's have zero hits. The Yankees have not committed any errors. Will Warren has just been all over the place in terms of his command, and that's a Will Warren experience right there, and that's a big reason why I took the over in this game. But right now, you are certainly sweating that one out, so we shall see what happens on that front. Right now, you're in the bottom of the first inning in terms of Orioles versus Rays. with this one. The Tampa Bay Rays have done a solid job thus far. You have a man on third with two outs, so we shall see if you're able to get there with that Nerfy. The Nerfy in the St. Louis Cardinals, Cleveland Guardians. That does get there 0-0 going into second inning there. And right now for the Boston Red Sox, they're looking to be able to get you there in terms of a Nerfy, as well as they were able to get out of a little bit of a jam, Brian Bayo was. So now they go to the bottom of the first inning there. And those are some of the most interesting sweats in all of sports, because you always hear about people wanting to bet the over and everything like that. I think that the one bet in which it's very chic and it's very popular to bet the under on is this, because essentially you're betting on under a half a run in the first inning. This is probably the most, I should say, probably the most popular under bet that you're going to find in all sports. What you get in terms of the yes run, no run first inning. So always a lot of fun to be seeing what we all get there, and we shall see if the Yankees are able to wriggle out of this bases loaded situation, as Will Warren just has not been necessarily amazing for this team thus far, and it does look like he gets out of it. So Will Warren finds a way to be able to get the job done against Gio Urshela, so that'll go into the bottom of the first inning. Certainly want some runs a little bit more moving forward, but also sweating out the Yankees' run line. So we shall see what's going to be happening on that front. We've got this game that's going to be coming up in the next few minutes. Do want to hit this now, because coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be going out to the lovely city of Los Angeles. Michael Duarte, he does a great job covering all things the Lakers, the Dodgers, everything out there in Los Angeles. He is so great on that front. So how about if we hit this game between the White Sox and the San Francisco Giants? Landon Roop goes for the Giants. You've got Aaron Civale on the bump for the White Sox, and this total has climbed to 9. You've got a little bit of wind and a little bit of humidity out there in the great city of Chicago, and for Roop and the Giants, finding them anywhere between about minus 150, minus 160. Now for the Giants, they get swept at home against the Miami Marlins. That's rough. Like, no, that's something that can't happen if you want to be a contender out there in the National League. But Roop has been solid. 8.5 strikeouts, about 3.5 walks per 9 innings. We've seen a little bit of regression with him. And Aaron Civale is an interesting cat. Like, if you take a look at the overall season numbers, he's giving up north of 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. The ERA is north of a 4.50. But he's given up 2 runs or fewer in 4 of his last 5 starts. Got banged around a little bit in his last start, but he's been a little bit better. Requests a trade from Milwaukee because the Miz, Jacob Mizner, was going to take his spot. And if you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan, you'd much rather have Mizner right now than our good friend in Aaron Civale. But I mean, the White Sox just have not been able to hit this year. Recognize that they're averaging closer to about 4 runs per game at home, less than 3 runs per game away from home. But I think that this total has climbed way too high. The Giants, by the way, number one team in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. So many guys that you're able to mix and match with. I felt like this total should have been an 8.1. So, I mean, at a 9, I certainly like the under with the Giants. I took a shot with them on the run line. You're able to get plus money there. So, road with the Giants, road with the under. What we're riding with next is a trip to Los Angeles. Michael Duarte does a great job covering the Lakers and the Dodgers. He joins me on the flip side right here on VSiN Prime Time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on VSiN Prime Time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line. We've got Michael Duarte aboard. He does such a tremendous job covering all things Los Angeles sports over at NBC LA. Whether you're looking at the Lakers, the Dodgers, you name it, he does it. And Michael, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Great to join you and see your face as always.
Absolutely. And how about if we dive in first things first on the main team in town right now in Los Angeles? It's not the Angels, by the way, which we wish Ron Washington very well. But that said, we've got the Dodgers, a team that is right there towards the top of the National League once again. And before we dive in on this game tonight for the Kansas City Royals, just want to get your thoughts on this team overall, because I know that there have been some people I've been a little bit disappointed, which if you could call 51-31 a disappointment, I guess they have been. But I mean, this is a team that, even though it feels like we haven't seen peak form of the Dodgers yet, they're still on pace for 100 wins.
Yeah, this is a team, Greg, that is super dangerous right now. And I say that simply because, I mean, obviously they're the reigning World Series champions, but they've had 15 pitchers on the injured list. It just seems like every starting pitcher is a rotating carousel of injuries, guys going on the IL. They come off, they come back on. And it's been like this all season long. And they just finished up a stretch here about a week ago where they went 30 straight games against a first or second place team in their respective division, all of them playoff teams. It was the toughest stretch of their schedule and they came out of it not only with a winning record, but they extended their lead in the NL West over the Giants and Padres. And in large part, that's because they beat them in series there at the end of that stretch. They also had a stretch where they played 29 games in 30 days. They're out of that stretch. So you come out of that tied with the Detroit Tigers, who you were just talking about on your show in the last segment, for the best record in baseball. And now reinforcements are on the way. Now you're getting more days off here. Now you have the All-Star break coming up in a couple weeks. And I expect to see guys like Tyler Glasnow, an All-Star last season, return to the mound after the All-Star break. He just did a rehab assignment last Sunday. Blake Snell, a guy who's now picking up the ball, will be facing hitters pretty soon. I expect to see him come back after the All-Star break. And bullpen guys like Blake Treinen is another one who all these guys expected back. So you're talking about a team that's already tied for the best record, and they're only going to get stronger in reinforcements here in the next few weeks.
Yep, absolutely. And rookie Sasaki has been shut down. We're not knowing when he's going to be throwing again, but I mean, that's another guy that you might be seeing towards the back half of the season as well. And typically, we've been talking about this man being banged up, who's going to be taking the mound for the Dodgers in about an hour or so. That'd be Dustin May right now with the Dodgers, about minus 155 on the money line against the Royals. And how do you take a look at Dustin May and what he's been able to do this year for the Dodgers? Because I think he's just such a critical piece for them, because he could perhaps be like a number four starter in a seven-game series.
Yeah, and so he's been the number five starter since the opening day roster was announced, and he's remained in the starting rotation. This is a guy coming up two Tommy John surgeries and a trachea surgery that he thought after he choked on a piece of lettuce at a restaurant and then had to go in to get emergency surgery last season. They shut him down before his comeback could even return, but he's now back. He's healthy, and he's one of the few stalwarts in this rotation that has just been able to go out there and remain healthy and pitch every fifth or sixth day, depending on how the Dodgers like to do it. And for the most part, he's been pretty consistent, pretty reliable, but every now and then he'll run into one where he gives up five, six runs. And as long as he can keep his team in the game and give them depth, because they've been running out some bullpen games here, and now with Shohei Ohtani returning, Greg, he's only able to pitch one or two innings as he builds back up. The bullpen takes over and piggybacks for him whenever he makes a start. So it's very, and that's happening on Saturday. So it's very crucial that Dustin May goes out there and can give this team some depth and save the bullpen, because the bullpen's going to be having a busy day on Saturday backing up Ohtani. So this is a huge series for the Kansas City Royals, though. I think they're only 3.5 out of the wild card, but you're running into arguably the hottest team and one of the best teams in baseball right now in the Dodgers. You're going to have to face Ohtani, Dustin May, as we mentioned. So the Royals are going to do their best to kind of stay afloat here as the Dodgers just try to extend that lead in the NL West.
And I am so glad that you brought up the Shohei Ohtani of it as well, because we did see him return to the starting rotation. He's already made a few starts for the team thus far, but as you mentioned, he's only went one inning in both of the starts that he's had. But Ben Gasparis has been able to build himself up as a bulk guy. So a little bit of a two-part question. One, do we think that Shohei Ohtani might be able to go a little bit deeper in the start, or is it going to be, once again, 1 to 2 innings? And two, do we expect Gasparis to once again be the bulk guy and perhaps be that moving forward for Ohtani's starts?
Yeah, great question, Greg. And so I actually asked Dave Roberts after Shohei Ohtani's first start, is the plan moving forward for Ben Gasparis, who arguably is probably the most important, most vital MVP player on the Dodgers, especially on the pitching staff side this season. This is a guy, Greg, that you're forgetting, started Game 4 of the World Series last year against the New York Yankees. And even us beat writers who knew the team, he was relatively unheard of, a relatively unknown on that roster and on the team. So to start a World Series game, and obviously he got shelled a little bit in that game, but this year, his sophomore year, and actually it's more his rookie year, because he didn't make enough starts last season to be labeled not a rookie anymore. So he's a rookie for all intents and purposes, and you could argue he should be in the Rookie of the Year candidates in the National League, because he has been an absolute stud for the Dodgers, and unofficially he is the Shohei Ohtani piggybacker. So I expect him to piggyback Shohei Ohtani moving forward, getting that bulk roll, 5-6 innings behind him. As far as Ohtani, as you mentioned, he's only been able to throw one inning in his last two starts. That's because the Dodgers have this pre-scripted. I believe this time around they want him to go up and down. So provided that he has an efficient first inning, he made 28 pitches in his first start, 18 in his second start. If he can do around that 15 to 20 number in this start here on Saturday against the Royals, and I anticipate he'll go up and down and come back for the second inning. Whether he finishes the second inning or not, that's just going to depend on efficiency. But Ben Gasparis will be ready to go as soon as the game starts to come in and piggyback him, and that should be the way it is moving forward, as they try to get Ohtani to kind of build back up to 5 innings, 75. That's a good marker, and then build up from there.
Yep, and the Shohei Ohtani of things is it's always very difficult because typically with a starting pitcher coming off of an injury, you just send them down to AAA, which for the Dodgers, that's Oklahoma City. Hard to send down Shohei Ohtani to AAA when you need that MVP bat in the lineup. So that's always very interesting with this ordeal as Michael Duarte does great work over at NBC Sports Los Angeles, joining me right here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And there's another team out there in Los Angeles we're talking about. That'd be the LA Lakers. Obviously, we saw what happened over the last few months. They were able to get Luka Doncic, and now they've got a full offseason to be able to really maneuver with this team. And do you think that there might be any moves coming for this squad? Because they were relatively silent during the draft. I know that they picked up a guy or two, like Eric Dixon is a guy that they're going to be, I believe, kicking the tires on as an undrafted free agent. But do you anticipate any big moves, perhaps, this offseason to shake up the LA Lakers roster?
Yeah, and I'll quote Rob Pelinka here, Greg, and that is, he will leave no stone unturned in order to find a center for this team to pair with Luka Doncic, who he loves, that pick-and-roll lob threat. Obviously, they need it on the defensive end. Jackson Hayes was able to kind of come up big during the end of the regular season after they acquired Luka Doncic last year, but it was more, he wasn't able to be used against Rudy Gobert, a three-time defensive player of the year in that series against the Timberwolves. He was benched the entire fifth game of that series. So they need somebody who can not only hold up their end on the offensive end, but hold up their end on the defensive end. And so they are free agent center hunting right now. Obviously, they traded for Mark Williams, who was just traded to the Suns on draft day, which is a little telling because the Hornets then went out and drafted a center with the number 10 pick. So that tells you maybe that report that Mark Williams' health wasn't so good as he failed his physical with the Lakers and they rescinded the trade and sent him back to Charlotte, that maybe there's some legs and weight to that. But there's some free agent options for them if they want to turn that route. I think Miles Turner is probably the top free agent on the market, though it looks like after that run to the finals in Game 7 where they fell just a little short that the Pacers would like to re-sign him and keep him. But that's a guy who's been linked to the Lakers for several years now. Naz Reid, a guy in Minnesota, sixth man, great player. That's another guy the Lakers are looking at. And then if you want to go down the list, Clint Capella, Brook Lopez, who actually played with the Lakers a few years ago, that's another option. But they're also looking at trades as well. They've been dangling Austin Reeves. It just depends on what kind of center they can get. So look for the Lakers to add a big man. And obviously, they trade up in the draft to get Adu Thirio from Arkansas. That's a small forward. Not great offensively, but very good defensively. They go get Eric Dixon, as you mentioned, on a two-way deal, undrafted. He was the leading scorer out of Villanova last year in the NCAA. So, you know, they kind of get defense and offense in one with those two picks right there, with those two signings. But they had Adu Thirio as a first-round talent, and they were able to grab him in the second round. So they're really excited about that guy. But lastly, like I said, look for the Lakers to add a center to pair with Luka and LeBron this offseason.
Yep, no question about it. You mentioned that they tried with Mark Williams. The physical did not pan out. Who knows if that physical pans out, where that was going to be happening moving forward. And should be a very interesting offseason out there in Los Angeles, because it always is. And Michael, you do a great job gauging it all. You do a great job with the Dodgers, Lakers, and so much more. And always do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Greg. Have a great show. And have a good show tonight when that sports book fills up behind you.
Absolutely, and it is going to be filling up once we get those late games going down, as we've got a lot of early action in Major League Baseball. We've got some runs up on the board out there in Baltimore, as you've got a six spot right now for the Tampa Bay Rays. They're up 6-0, so we'll be checking in there. And the lowest scoring team in all of baseball having a little bit of an outburst as well. We'll be taking a look at that, and we'll be previewing some of the late games for this Major League Baseball Friday on the flip side here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And we're back here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a lot of baseball action going down. And I did lie. I said that the lowest scoring team in all of baseball, I busted out. Second lowest scoring team in all of baseball. The Royals became the lowest scoring team in all of baseball with the fact that they had a very, very much less than savory series against the Tampa Bay Rays. But the Pittsburgh Pirates, four runs up on the board here. They are currently leading by a count of 4-0. My last name is Peterson, and The Peterson family not happy about the fact that David Peterson let up a four spot in the second inning against the Pittsburgh Pirates. We shall see what is going to be happening there, but 4-0, as for David Peterson, not a great inning here. That was sort of a death by a million cuts inning as well. You get some of these games where you get like a big giant Jackson or something like that. This game, he just had this team being able to move line, and this team is right now moving line as well. I was talking about the Tampa Bay Rays, perhaps a little bit of value out there on them in the AL East. How about them being able to have a trio of homers in the second inning against the Baltimore Orioles? 6-0 right now. They are in the lead. Tomoyuki Sugano, I thought that he was doing for a little bit of regression, and boy, oh boy, was he. And this is a live total that has now went to a 14.5. I would be willing to take a shot on the under here, by the way. And the big reason why. This is a Tampa Bay Rays bullpen that has been absolutely superb all season long. You've got so many guys that have come in, mix and match for you. Garrett Clevenger, Eric Orze. They've got a lot of guys that are very rested for this game because even though they played against the Kansas City Royals yesterday, got a pretty rock solid start, didn't have to use up too many of those trustworthy bullpen pieces. So I would be looking at a live 14.5 under there. Right now, not a lot of scoring out there in New York. 1-0. The Yankees have the lead. The A's had the bases loaded in the first inning, did absolutely nothing with it. So we'll see how things materialize there, and just got started in terms of that Giants versus White Sox game. That is currently 0-0. If you're looking at that Braves versus Phillies game, that game was delayed a little bit by rain. Looks like that is going to be starting up at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So if you've got live bets there, have no fear. You're going to be able to get your action, it looks like. Just have a little bit of rain in the forecast. We do have a few games that are going to be starting up here in the next 15 or so minutes that we should be breaking down. And how about if we start with this one? This one is a 8:05 Eastern time first pitch. Nathan Eovaldi and Logan Gilbert going to be doing battle out there in the great state of Texas. This is 9:19, 9:20 with Eovaldi and the Texas Rangers. Very slight underdogs. Logan Gilbert opened up as a very slight underdog. Now the Seattle Mariners are more around about a -115, and this total has sunk all the way to 7. And the juice is on the under. So if you want to go over, you're getting a -105. I felt like the 8 opener was a little bit high, but here at a 7, this is where it's just gone too far. And the Texas Rangers have been terrible in terms of scoring runs. 39 home games for the Texas Rangers this year. 10 of them have gone over. 29 of them have gone under. But with Nathan Eovaldi, this is going to be his first start coming off the injured list. So you have to figure that he's probably not going to be making as much of a, shall we say, full-fledged start as you typically be seeing out of him. And I've noted this, Nathan Eovaldi, typically when he's come off the injured list and he did not make any minor league rehab starts, typically he does show a little bit of shakiness. Like I've seen it the last 2 or 3 years with Eovaldi, where he really gives you just a thunderous start to the season, goes on the injured list, and then he's not the same. Now, I still did take a shot on the Rangers on the money line, just being able to get them at this number in a lot of places, right around plus 102, plus 104 at home. It was an offer that I couldn't refuse, but I mean, for Logan Gilbert, he has been able to do a rock solid job since coming off the injured list himself. I'm just very drawn in by the Texas Rangers bullpen, as you've had a lot of guys being able to mix and match in this bullpen. They've been able to do a nice job of being able to hold it down all season long. These guys like a Chris Martin have been very solid. Luke Jackson, after a rough start to the season, he's been able to rise up as well. And for Texas, I think at some point this team hits. Like, at some point, this team needs to hit. And Evan Carter, since he's come off the injury list, has been able to give this team a bit of something. Adolis Garcia, Marcus Semien, they're both now hitting closer to a 225, 230, which doesn't sound like much, but it was very much a rough start to the season for them. So, I mean, especially at some places, you're even able to get this at even money. That 7 has just gone too low. I like the over, and I do like that money line of the Texas Rangers. This game is going to be going down in the next 20 or so minutes. We head out to my home state of Wisconsin. Brewers and the Colorado Rockies. Kyle Freeland goes for the Rocks, and you've got Jose Quintana on the bump for the Brewers. And if you're looking to lay a run half with the Brewers, you're able to find that in some places as good as plus money. Like here at Circa, you're getting a plus 104. Sign me up, baby, because this Colorado Rockies team, I recognize that they've been a little bit better. You have to give some credit where it is due. They were on pace to be by far the worst team in MLB history. Now they might just be the worst team in MLB history. So, yay, verily there for the Colorado Rockies. That said, you take a look at the Colorado Rockies, a paltry 18-63 record thus far this season, and allow me to contextualize why you want to be taking the run line here with the Colorado Rockies. Right now they have the 63 losses that I pointed out. 13 of those losses have been by one run. So if you're looking at multiple run losses, you have 50 of those thus far this season. That would be by itself the most losses in the National League. The Pittsburgh Pirates also have 50 losses this season, and the only team with more total losses than the Rockies have two-plus run losses, that'd be the Chicago White Sox. Like, that's how bad it's been for the Rockies. And Kyle Freeland is a guy that's suing for his positivity. He's got a fielding independent that's more than a point and a half lower than his ERA. And I do believe that Jose Quintana is going to be had a little bit here as well. For Jose Quintana, feels like it's been a little bit smoke and mirrors with him. But I also do think that the Brewers' bullpen is one that you want to be taking note of. Rough start to the season with Yoepy Amps, Elvis Piguero, two guys that were so good for them last season, being either sent to the minors or just being ineffective in general. But Abner Uribe has been a nice mix and match guy. You've been able to get good production as well of these guys like a Trevor Megill. And for the Brewers, I think that this is really interesting, and it's a big reason why I took a look at the under. For the Milwaukee Brewers, they have some of the most strange home and road splits with their offense that I've ever seen. With the Milwaukee Brewers, and for those that don't know about American Family Field, I grew up in the state of Wisconsin. Not really a pitcher's ballpark, not really a hitter's ballpark. If you're looking on ballpark factors, they're right around about league average. If you had to design like one neutral ballpark, you'd probably be looking at American Family Field. 5.65 runs per game on the road for the Brewers. That actually leads all of baseball. 3.7 runs per game at home. Just wackadoo home and road splits. There's no explaining it whatsoever. There's no explanation. I mean, I still am confused. Like, with the Milwaukee Brewers, it's not like there's some sort of power trading team that they just don't have for power at home and then they do on the road. Like, this is a move-the-line team with a quartet of different guys. Sal Frelick, Bryce Terang, Jackson Chirio, Christian Yelich, who give you 10-plus stolen bases. Yelich has been the main constant for this team. He's been able to supply 14-plus home runs, so he's been able to do a solid job there, but I do think that there should be some positivity for them with their offense at home, some negativity on the road, but we shall see if that balances out, because the one thing that has been a saving grace for the Colorado Rockies has been this bullpen has not been terrible. You got the likes of Jimmy Herget, Jake Bird, Victor Vodnik give you a sub 4 ERA, and for the Rockies, while this has been a better lineup recently, they're a sub 275 on base percentage on the road, dead last in the big leagues. So I did take a shot on the under in this ordeal, and I'm going to be willing to roll with that Brewers run line. What else you want to be rolling with is some action on the ponies. I know that it's the dog days of summer. You're looking for something to be able to bet. Why not bet some horse racing over at First Bet? Sign up now and you get exclusive promotions on hundreds of thrilling horse race every single day, and you get access to it all right on your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com, and utilize the promo code of VSIN200. That is VSIN200. That scores you a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. You don't want to miss out. Start betting today over at firstbet.com. As it is, VSIN Prime Time right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we've got ourselves a lot of action that's happening out there in Major League Baseball. Right now, in the bottom of the second inning between the Rays and the Orioles, you've got the bases chucked with one out. So if you're sweating out and over right now, you might be able to get this one in the second inning. And those are the best sort of cashes that you can get right there. Like, there's nothing better than being like, all right, I bet on a baseball game, and within an hour, the over already hit. We shall see if that's going to be happening there, and right now, certainly threatening. And this is an intriguing result right now as well. I was talking about liking the Cardinals on the money line. They have been able to have a nice outburst here. 3-0, they're up on the Cleveland Guardians. And the Guardians have really hurt themselves here. You've had Luis Ortiz commit a pair of errors for the Cleveland Guardians. They've only given up 4 total hits, but you also had 2 bombs given up. Alec Burleson, 10th home run season. And you've had Mr. Pedro Páez be able to get his 6th home run of the campaign for the St. Louis Cardinals. So they're currently up by a count of 3-0. We'll see if Sonny Gray is able to cruise, as that's a game where I bet the under on. So we're very much going to be sweating that one out. Still in a rain delay in terms of Phillies versus Braves. That game should be starting up in the first 10 or so minutes. But this is also a game that I think is of intrigue with the San Diego Padres on the road against the Reds. Now, I personally did take a shot on Dylan Cease on the money line. Man, I've been saying for a while, this guy is doing for some positivity. The underlying numbers are pretty solid. tapping into him once again. Spencer Shear takes him twice, or takes him deep. Seventh home run of the season. Bottom of the second inning. Reds are currently up by a count of 3-0. Sometimes you just have to wonder if a pitcher's in a little bit of funk. Dylan Cease has been up, down, hot, and cold. So looks like he's going to be cold once again. What we should be warm on is a lot of great baseball action tonight, though, as we've got all 30 teams in action. We've got quite a few games that are going to be starting up for the next hour. Let's break those games down and take a look at the live action on the flip side here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.